It's Friday, May 1st. We're at Toronto City Hall, where registration for the upcoming municipal election has kicked off. We spoke with six candidates, none of which are currently sitting on council, and one of which is undecided.
Candidates must submit endorsements from 25 eligible voters, and they're required to pay a $200 fee for mayor or a $100 fee for councillor. John Tory's open race attracted a record 102 candidates in 2023, and while the turnout isn't as crazy today, there was a line this morning. Is that right, Kinza?
Yeah, the city staff have told us that there was a line of people waiting at the door when the city clerk's office opened at 8:30. CBC reports that at the front of the line was Sean Allen, who ran for councillor in last September's Scarborough Rouge Park by-election, which we covered here at Met Radio. Brad Bradford has also announced his bid for mayor and has registered.
Appreciate it.
I love
Thank
people
you.
That are civically engaged.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice meeting you. Thank you so much. Thank you. You want to interview here?
We gotta go over there,
At the center of Toronto is, well, Toronto Centre, Ward 13, which is where Met Radio is located. Running for city councillor to take over for incumbent Chris Moyes there is Waleed Kogali Ali.
I'm a well-known housing advocate, advocating for affordability of housing, better pathway to home ownership. I'm known for my work when it comes to investing in communities through social development plans. And I'm running because I believe we need a change in leadership at City Hall. We need to end the debates, and we need quick, decisive actions to ensure that folks living in our city have partners in government. And what's going on in our city right now is deplorable. You know, evictions are on the rise, homelessness is on the rise. So I will be there to champion those community voices to ensure that we actually are not just responsive, but collaborate.
He's a member
residents.
Of the Confronting Anti-Black Racism Advisory Committee and is also the general manager of the Toronto Metropolitan Graduate Students Union.
I am a coalition builder. I'm known for working with residents.
Yeah, how have you been engaging with the community, and how will you make yourself accessible to constituents?
I will be accessible not just on social media. You know, everyone has my number. It's 416-625-7712.
Can I put that on the radio?
You can put that on the radio. People call me all the time for many reasons, and that's what a city councilor should be. You're not a bureaucrat. You're here for public service. And that's why I'm doing this, is because many of my neighbors feel out of touch.
Kogali Ali's platform includes addressing the housing and affordability crises, meeting the needs of neglected areas, and championing harm reduction measures.
Moss Park has been clearly neglected. Safety is the number one issue that I hear at the door. So we need similar investments in responsible development. We need a pathway to home ownership. You know, Regent Park had a pathway to home ownership. Folks in social housing were able to access permanent housing. And that's something that should be expanded across neighborhoods, across not just Toronto Centre, but in my opinion, the City of Toronto.
Speaking of Moss Park, there's a supervised consumption site there, the Moss Park site that's supposed to close in June. Would you support the site staying open?
Of course. I believe in evidence-based measures. I don't believe that harm reduction is punitive. It is harm reduction. And as an evidence-based policymaker, I will be advocating for restoring funding to this important site so that our loved ones are going to be given the supports they need.
A few familiar faces. There was Diana Shan McNally throwing her hat in the ring for a ward she's lived in for more than a decade. That's Ward 4, Parkdale High Park.
I've been living in Parkdale for a long time. I've been working there for over 10 years. A lot of people in the neighborhood, even across the ward itself, do know me, do know my work, because it has been citywide. So I believe I have that name recognition, yes.
Longtime incumbent Gord Perks announced the day before nominations opened that he'd no longer be running after 20 years on the council floor. While McNally doesn't have the former councillor's official endorsement yet, she did say she has his support.
I think my track record speaks for itself. This isn't just about having progressive talk, it's about action. I've been able to win resources from every level of government, including millions of dollars in funding for refugees. I've been able to win things from John Tory, from Mayor Chow. Again, I have that track record of taking action and actually winning real resources. I have been working with people who are homeless for many, many years, but I've also been working with tenants, people who are precariously housed, and in our ward, that's half the ward. So I want to ensure, again, that housing remains affordable for people that I will be representing, but also across the city. One thing that I also want to bring back to City Hall is a champion of the arts. We haven't had somebody who has taken this seriously in a very long time. I'm someone who's a DJ, I'm an artist myself, and I know how hard it is to live and struggle in the city, having very, very limited income. But it's also what underpins joy in our city. I want it to be not just about survival, homelessness, that work I've been doing is very much about that, but about joy as well, so bringing the arts back into community.
McNally's been working on the Housing Rights Advisory Committee at Toronto City Hall for about a year now.
I actually think the city is moving in a good direction. What we've seen is that there have actually been more people housed from encampments than we've seen previously in the past. So I think we're continuing that direction and strengthening it as well.
According to recent city data, there's been a substantial drop in the number of homeless encampments in the past year. And in 2025, the city housed over 4,000 people from the shelter system and the street.
If you know me and my work as a community worker, this is what I've been doing for years. This, again, is a natural extension of the kind of advocacy work, community work that I've already been doing.
Subtly trying to remain undetected at City Hall today was Chloe Brown. She had the third highest popular vote total in the 2022 election, running against John Tory, and held on to 2.6% of the vote in the 2023 by-election against current Mayor Olivia Chow.
So I'm on the fence because I see the opportunity with the Mamdani success, and people are like, strike while the... Avi Lewis, like, strike while the iron is hot.
She had the third highest popular vote total in the 2022 election, running against John Tory, and held on to 2.6% of the vote in the 2023 by-election, losing to current Mayor Olivia Chow. Chloe Brown is a socialist candidate, and this time around, she's trying to implement what she calls the Mamdani multiplier effect.
But I'm really here in hopes of seeing the Mamdani multiplier effect, where instead of people just looking for one progressive mayor, they're looking at it like 10, 15 progressive councillors. Because ultimately, there are opportunities for everyone in the city to experience the same level of prosperity. But if your local councillor is not for adopting a motion, then you won't see those benefits.
Today, with paperwork in hand, Chloe Brown was undecided on whether to run for mayor again or Ward 1 Etobicoke North councillor.
Been thinking about Ward 1, which is North Etobicoke. That's Doug Ford's ward in Ford country, quote unquote. I see opportunities not to work directly with council, but to leverage policy and the law in favor of working class people. And ultimately, that's where a lot of politicians have been failing to actualize representation. The law applies to all of us. I want to see more people standing up for the rights of the working class, because the issue right now is rarely about left or right. It's a class war, and the working class, who makes up the majority of the population, is losing to a few people who are buying parts of the political system and forcing us to take out a subscription for it. So there's the time to change. Provincial and federal politics starts on the ground, and if we can't capture our city, we have no chance of changing the province of the feds.
We also saw some fresh faces. Ala Adib is running for Ward 1, Etobicoke North, and this is her first time running for a council position.
Feedback has been very positive. Everyone's excited to have someone new come in and run for city council. And I also feel that some of the changes are the changes that we need around the city. So it's more of an affordable Toronto, more of a safer Toronto, and just being the representation that the community needs.
Her and her family launched a nonprofit last year and an award for incoming law students at Toronto Metropolitan University, or TMU, in honor of her late brother. Her nonprofit assists youth, mothers, and families who are facing poverty and systemic barriers through initiatives like food drives and basketball programs.
A lot of things motivated me to get to this point. I do a lot of community work in that ward specifically. And for the past 5 years, I've been advocating for youth. I'm excited for this journey. I feel like because I've been on the ground for all these years and doing a lot of the work, it's just the next step now, just to put myself out there and try to advocate for the people that need representation.
We also saw Paul Nash. He completed his education at the University of Toronto and earned his PhD in the UK, where he taught international relations. He's running for city councillor in Ward 10, Spadina, Fort York, with the incumbent there being Deputy Mayor Asma Malik.
I've never seen a city that's just as wonderful as Toronto. We've got an incredible diversity here that's just unlike any other place in the world. And, I want to run for city council because I would like to foster a greater sense of community for everyone to come together, because that's the best thing about Toronto. I think it's important for lots of people to be running as candidates, and it's a sign of a healthy democracy.
A hot topic in the ward is the ownership debate around Billy Bishop Airport and the province's plans to pave over Little Norway Park, which Councillor Malik has spoken out against. She calls the land grab, quote, absolutely unacceptable.
So the province really has to listen to the voices of the people in Ward 10. They can't just unilaterally make decisions. We're in a democracy, and so they really do have to be accountable, and they have to listen to the people. And I think a lot of people right now are asking, do we really need to start giving up our parks, or part of our parks, paving them over, for the sake of expanding an airport to satisfy the friends of provincial political elites.
And then finally, we spoke to Gabe Long for Ward 11, University Rosedale, who's already been pretty active online, having officially announced his campaign just a week ago.
I'm trying not to be terminally online. It's better for my mental health and is better for engaging with my constituents.
Long is a former city staffer with Shelley Carroll's team. Carroll is the budget committee chair at Toronto City Council.
I worked at City Hall. I think I saw what I would describe as a problematic culture when it comes to delivering results for Torontonians. I think my ward, Ward 11, University Rosedale, has a lot of people who rely on public transit every single day. 57% of us rent. And so these are people, especially young people, who can't wait for change to take another generation. They want to happen now. And they want to see tangible, material results in their day-to-day lives.
Long's been vocal about making public transit more accessible and has spoken in favor of lifting the moratorium on new food vendor permits.
Something I felt very passionately about, and I was inspired by my friend Maron, a hot dog vendor who is set up just down the street on Albert Street. I was really lucky to be able to have his story to count on.
So. You want to talk about, you saw him yesterday again?
I did see him yesterday again. Evan was with me. Yeah. I introduced Evan to Maron the other day. Yeah, he's the most affable guy in the world. And he is a great example of how much more lively and exciting this city is when we create opportunities for newcomers from all around the world to start businesses, to make lives here.
He also recently supported a motion to pedestrianize the Church Wellesley Village.
I spoke in favor of it. It was my friend Rodney Chan who pioneered the idea, and Chris Moyes' office picked it up and did a very good job with it. I think it's a great example of how quickly change can be made at this city when there's the political will, when councillors and staff and businesses and communities come together and say, okay, instead of talking about why this won't work, let's talk about how we can make it happen.
It's clear that the candidates are hard at work canvassing. So much so that they're breaking bones in between breaking bread with voters.
From canvassing too hard?
Canvassing too hard. I was wearing terrible steel-toed boots. They were not good for my feet at all. I was also training for the Achilles 10K race,
candidate nominations for Toronto's 2026 municipal election are open until August 21st at 2 p.m. Nominations can be filed for the offices of mayor, council, or trustees for Toronto District School Board, Toronto Catholic School Board. Election day is Monday, October 26th, and we'll be watching this race, paying close attention to see what other candidates throw their hat in over the summer. For the Local Journalism Initiative, this is Mia Johnson.
I'm Kinza Zafar.